Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. Happy Easter, everyone. And we're excited about our services today. We got some special things going on. We have some extra special music today, and we also have some extra congregational singing. And I think we got a great sermon this morning, another great question of the Bible, and just looking forward to how God's going to bless. I think we had a really great sunrise service earlier, and that's already on our Facebook page and also on our YouTube. So once you get finished watching today, if you want to go over and watch a sunrise service, I think you would enjoy it. And let's go ahead and open up the service with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to this day just remembering greatest event in history. You're thinking about the time you rose from the grave. And Lord, I pray that you help us. Lord, we want to celebrate it. Lord, we want to worship you. And Lord, we need your help. So we're asking this service to be spirit-led. We're asking you to give us leadership and guidance in every area. And Lord, I pray you help those that are singing special music. Lord, I pray that you help all those that are watching to get involved with the congregational singing. And Lord, I pray that you help with the message. God, we want to hear from you today. We praise you for how mighty you are to be able to raise from the dead. Lord, we also praise you for you loving us and the reason why you came to this world. Lord, we don't always understand why you would come for us, but we sure are glad you did. Once again, Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's going to happen first? Mr. Humbert's going to come sing a special song, Who Am I? And then Mr. Jim's going to come with the theme song and then the congregational song. We are trying to find the right hymns for Easter Sunday. And so instead of just picking one, we're going to have a little bit of a medley of different songs about the cross. And then we're going to sing a song about Christ rising from the dead. And then at the end of the service, we're going to talk about songs about how he lives today. So we pray that you enjoy the service. You'd be praying along with us that God would work and bless in today's service. Mr. Humbert.
When I think of how he came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lonely such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary took my place. It is then I ask this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will but thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go. Who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave thee never. Just believe on me, and I'll give to you a life forever. There's nothing that I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles till they're won. Who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will but thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, tied to an old rugged cross, he'd go. Who am I?
Amen. Good morning again. Happy Resurrection Day. We're going to sing our theme song together, please. You probably know the words off by heart, but I think they're up there for you.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
Now we're going to sing some good resurrection, or some good cross songs, crucifixion songs. Please sing along with me. Beginning with At the Cross, At the Cross. Number 79.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Now go to At Calvary.
By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Now a favorite, It Is Well With My Soul.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen, amen, praise the Lord. I like that verse, I like all the songs, but the reason why we chose It As Well to finish with, think about what it says, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And something we should be praising the Lord for, that's for sure. What a great, great song for Resurrection Sunday. Now, this is our announcement time. Just a couple quick announcements. Remember, if you want to get a bulletin, you have not been receiving it, please let us know. You can do it through texting, you can do it through email, or you can also we'll mail it to you. Now, if we mail it to you, you might not get it till Monday or Tuesday of the following week, but they go out on Thursday and Friday. So remember those that would like to have a bulletin, and the bulletin gives you an update about the offerings. And thank you for all those that are being faithful with the offerings. Had a really great offering last week. We had the P.O. box to help with that if you like to. If you want to drop it off, been enjoying seeing the people as they drop the things off. Also, it talks about the birthdays and anniversaries of the week and also gives us a list of prayer requests so we can be sharing our prayer requests with one another. And it's a great way to just kind of keep in contact. And if there's announcements we need to tell you about, we will let you know about that. Also, April 20th through the 26th, it's going to be a week of prayer and fasting for a group of churches. So Faith Baptist Church has joined up with six other churches, and mostly in our area. And what we're going to do is each take a day, and our church is going to pray for one day and commit to praying for 24 hours. And then Tuesday, another church will take a day. Wednesday, another church will take Thursday. So each of those days, the church will commit to praying for the entire day. And so what we're looking to do is divide up this Monday, April 20th, is our day. It's to divide up into 20-minute increments. So it starts at midnight, goes at 12 to 12:20, 12:20 to 12:40, all the way, that's in the a.m., all the way to 11:59 on that Monday night. So if you'd like to be a part of that, we need your help. There's 72 spots that are open. You're welcome to take one, two, or three spots, but we need your help with signing those things up. You're going to text me or email me or text my wife or email my wife and let us know if you're willing to take a spot or how many spots and what time of day you're thinking. So tell us if you want into a.m. Tell us if you tell us any time, then that's great. You might get the midnight shift. You never know. Whatever it is that however the schedule works out. But we want to get it filled up pretty quickly. So that is starting next Monday. And what's the cool thing about it is for an entire week, our churches that are like-minded, I believe similar, you know, like-minded, like faith churches are grouping together and yoking together to have a whole week of prayer and fasting. Now, on our day of the 20th, we're encouraging our church members to do some type of fast. And I'll give you a little maybe helpful information about that, maybe talk about it on Wednesday night a little bit more, whether it be fasting from food or fasting from electronics or fasting from hobbies, just different things we're willing to set aside for a day to get a hold of God and get a hold of God's attention by prayer and fasting. And we'll give you more details, but I did want to mention it this morning and start, you know, like I said, start texting me and let me know, hey, Pastor, I at least want one spot and I can do it in the afternoon or I can do it in the evening and just give me a roundabout time that you can do. If you want a specific 20 minutes, feel free to say that. And if no one else has taken it, you're welcome to have it. But we need your help with that. And that is next Monday. And on Monday, Faith Baptist Church is going to be doing it. On Tuesday, Emmanuel Baptist Church here in Elizabeth City is going to be taking care of it. On Wednesday, it's People's Baptist Church in Greenville, North Carolina. And Thursday, it goes on and on and on for all those different ones. I guess it won't call out the wrong names and churches. But if you're interested in knowing who else is part of that, that's great. We're excited about that, excited about partnering up with these churches and having an entire week of prayer and fasting. And we'll even be giving you a prayer sheet on Wednesday night as a church family, so that way we can be all praying for the same specific things. So make sure you let us know. And don't just do this and say, okay, I'll make sure I pray extra that day and not take one of the time slots. We need to fill these time slots up. So even though if the time slots, when they get filled up, you can pray more, obviously, but we need your help and we want you all to be a part of that. So please let me know about that. Now the Peace Trio, still a trio, they still won't let me sing. They're coming to sing a song about how He gave Himself for us. Aren't we thankful for that? He gave Himself for us. Amen. I know I am.
Before the fall of man, God had a perfect plan. To fellowship with us was His desire. But Adam disobeyed, to sin became a slave. Now a perfect sacrifice would be required. An offering must be made, the sin debt must be paid, so God and man can reconcile me. So Jesus said, I'll go, because He loved me so. He shed His blood and paid sin's penalty.
He gave Himself to pay a debt I could not pay when I was lost.
No greater love is
hands, my crown of thorns he wore, my stripes were on his back, my heavy cross he bore. And when God turned his back, he turned it on my sin. Jesus won a victory that I could never win.
He gave himself, to pay a debt I could not pay. When I was lost, he gave himself to be my way. Though I deserve to be upon a cross that day, in love he took my place.
In love he took my place
and gave himself. In love he took my place.
Glad he gave himself for me, and then he arose. Let's sing that great song together. 241, Christ arose. Sing all three verses, please. Christ arose. Praise the Lord. Sing with me.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Last verse.
Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. It's not conservative or liberal, however they're defined. It's not about interpretations or the judgments of the mind. It's the opposite of politics, power and prestige. It's about a simple message and whether we believe. It's still the cross.
It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name of Jesus that has power to save the lost. It's still the cross. We can strategize and implement our stances and decrees. We can control our institutions, approve and grant degrees. But the world is out there watching, and what they need from us is to see our risen Savior reflected in our love. It's still the cross. It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name of Jesus that has power to save the lost. It's still the cross. It's still the cross. It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name of Jesus that has power to save the lost. It's still the cross. The cross.
Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of John, chapter number 11. John, chapter number 11. I know what maybe something's coming to your mind as a pastor. That's not a passage of scripture about the resurrection. It is, and you're going to see it here in just a minute. We're looking at one other great question of the Bible. Now, I was debating between the two different questions that about the resurrection that's found. I know there's a couple, but we talked about in the sunrise service when the angel asked the women, why seek ye the living among the dead? Jesus wasn't there, and they're saying, what are you doing here? You don't need to be here. He's already risen. There's nothing to see here. But here in John chapter number 11, Jesus is at another tomb. And it's not the garden tomb where he was buried. He's at Lazarus's tomb. And as you can see with Lazarus' tomb, there's a question that Jesus asks Martha. And what he's trying to do is encourage Martha to expand her faith. And it's a question that's found where he says, believest thou this? And so as we're looking at these different questions of the Bible, remember when God asks this question, when Jesus asks the question, he's not looking for information. He already knows all those things. But what he's looking for and what he's seeking for is that that individual will consider what's being said. So he begins with this question, believest thou this? And then later on, he asks another question as a follow-up. And that's the really cool thing is when you ask two questions, usually first one is to get you to think. The second one is to get you even consider more about the first question and see how it applies to our lives. So here in John chapter number 11, we're going to look at the reactions to the resurrection. What our reaction should be to the resurrection. And you can title, Believest Thou This? But it's also about how you're going to react to the resurrection. Say, Pastor, Martha wasn't even... Now remember, Jesus says in this passage of Scripture, I am the resurrection and the life. So he is speaking about the resurrection. He says, hey, you don't have to go looking till the end times to find the resurrection. The resurrection was in Jesus. And in the resurrection is Jesus. And in the resurrection was also life. And I think you're going to really enjoy this thought about reactions to the resurrection. The first thing I want you to think about with me is we should react with love. We should react with love. You say, Pastor, that seems kind of weird. What are you talking about? When you see the resurrection, it should help us react with love. You say, what do you mean? You think about it. It's the love of Christ is the reason why we're at the tomb. Pastor, what are you talking about? The only reason why he came and died on the cross and rose again, the only reason why we have an empty tomb was because he loved us. If he didn't love us and he didn't come to this world and die on the cross, there wouldn't be an empty tomb. It's because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And here in John chapter number 11, verse 5, we're introduced to this family. And look how the description is given. It says in verse number 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when we consider and we go to that empty tomb, and don't get me wrong, the empty tomb is the power, this display of the power of God. I mean, we worship God on this day because of the opportunities that empty tomb gives us. We worship God because of the power that it took for him to arise from the grave. And we're excited about that. But the reason why there was an empty tomb, it started with the fact that God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He proved and showed and demonstrated that love. And I was thinking about the different special music we had today, thinking about Mr. Humbert's song about Who Am I? And I began thinking, who am I that the king would come bleed and die for me? And I don't know about you, but that response is like what Paul said. It's the love of Christ constraineth us. Is when we consider that he came and he died for someone as lowly as me. I didn't deserve that. And then I began thinking as the Peace Trio was singing there, he gave himself. I mean, those were my transgressions. Those were my iniquities. Those were stripes that I deserved. Those were penalties that I should have gotten. And I don't know about you, but that shows and demonstrates the love that God has for us and the love that God has for the world and that love that God has for mankind. And what we learn from that is, yes, we celebrate the power that took for him to rise from the dead. But I believe we need to remember that it was the love of Christ. It was God so loved the world that God commended his love. And remember, the reason why we love him is because he first loved us. So when we consider the empty tomb, you see the resurrection that's there, you're like, okay, man, I should respond by having faith because of the power of God. And you should. But the reason why we have faith is because of the love that we have in him. Is that we see his love and we understand his love. And we receive him and put our faith and trust in him. And then we choose to live for him. So as we consider this story in John chapter number 11, I want you to first consider this, is that Jesus loved them. Now, Paul said here, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge. If one died, speaking about Jesus, died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. There's another great resurrection passage right there, but what's it saying? It's the love of Christ that constraineth us. It's the love of Christ that puts us out there to want to do his service. Because if one died for all, then all men were dead. And he didn't save us, and he didn't die for us, that we should live henceforth unto ourselves, but unto him. Who? The one who died for us. And the one who rose again for us. And it all begins with the fact that he loved us. So when you come, you see this passage of scripture, and Jesus is trying to expand Martha's faith during this time of tragedy. Some people be like, oh, Jesus should have just comforted her. Jesus should have just patted her on the head and talked to her later about it. No, through tragedy sometimes and through circumstances, God wants to expand her faith. And Jesus does not obviously mistreat or abuse her in this time in these questions. But I want you to think about this. Jesus loves Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Lazarus gets sick. Lazarus gets sick to the point of death. Mary and Martha send for Jesus because Jesus is known for healing those that have been sick. Surely Jesus could heal them. Surely Jesus could come and heal them, heal Lazarus so he wouldn't be sick. But Jesus waits, and he does this on purpose. You look what it says in verse number 4. He says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Well, Jesus waits. Lazarus passes away. And in verse number 17 is where we're going to pick up the story. Jesus is headed to town to check on the family. Look what it says in verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. He found out that Lazarus had already been there for 4 days. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary. It probably gives the idea that they're a very prominent family in that area, that people would be coming from Jerusalem, and it says many of them, to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Now remember, Martha's the one that was in the Bible that was always cumbered about serving, and Mary was the one that was known for sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha was a person of action and always doing things. And she heard Jesus was coming. She wasn't going to wait. She heads right out there, and it says, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at that last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's blessing today on the service. God, I pray that you humble our hearts today. As we sang about you hanging on the cross, Lord, I pray we see that you did that for us, and that it was our sins that were nailed to the cross. And Lord, we can rejoice, as in the song that talks about it as well with my soul, that you bore those sins, not in part, but the whole. And I'm never going to have to pay for those sins. And Lord, we just want to praise you for that. God, you're an amazing and wonderful God when we understand that you love us. And Lord, I know there is a world out there that doesn't know you or does not understand the love of God, but hopefully, Lord, that they'll understand you in a greater way after hearing these words. Lord, you love them. Lord, I pray that you help increase our faith today. As we journey to the empty tomb and we see the power that was taken to be able to raise someone from the dead like Lazarus. But also, Lord, we know Lazarus went back to that tomb later on. But we know Jesus, when he rose again, never had to go back, never needed another tomb. And Lord, we pray as we see that display of power, we never forget the love of God that was part of that. The only reason why he came was because he loved us. Lord, help us understand these truths. Help us to help us increase our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I mentioned earlier, we should react in love. And remember, it's not love that we're saved by. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Christ is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. No man's going to come unto the Father but by him. No man's going to see eternal life. No man's not going to die forever except through him. Your works are not going to get you there. It was the love of God that sent Christ down on the cross to die for you. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's by the unmerited favor of God in your life that you can be saved, but the only way you can be saved is by faith. And that's what this passage of Scripture is asking. Jesus is looking right at Martha and he's saying, believest thou this? Is this something that you believe? And that's what my hope is, and that's what I'm trying to relay to you today, is what is it that you believe? He asked Martha in a time of tragedy. Her brother has just died. Martha demonstrates some faith, but her faith seems to be confused. Her faith seems to be limited. And we're going to look at that in a second. But Jesus explains to her who he is. And he says, do you believe this? And I want to challenge you today, as we read through the passages of Scriptures, what do you believe? Because what you believe determines your actions. What your actions are determine your destination. Let's jump in here again. The second point is, not sure we only love him from a reaction to the resurrection, but we also should trust him with all our hearts. We should trust him with all our hearts. Look what it says back in verse number 17. He comes to town. Verse number 18, he's going to Bethany. Verse number 19, it says that Martha stays home, and Mary, 19:20, says Martha's staying home. Martha's leaving, Mary's staying home. Verse 21, Martha comes up to Jesus and says, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. So she begins by questioning Jesus' methods. She says, Lord, if you would have came, my brother wouldn't have died.
He said, why didn't you come? So in a time of grief, in a time of tragedy, many times people will question God, and they'll question why God does certain things. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's teaching her something. Believest thou this? You know, if you recognize that he is God, then believe that he can work in your heart and life. You think about it here, Martha is saying, hey, look, if you would have came, he would still be alive. But the faith becomes a little bit even more confusing. Look here what it says in verse number 22. She continues on by saying, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. God will give it thee. And you say, Pastor, what's confusing about that? She's saying that he could ask God and God would give him whatever he asked. Well, what's confusing about it, it's a limited faith. First, she's not trusting that Jesus did the right thing. And remember, we learned in verse number 4, the reason why Lazarus was sick and the reason why Lazarus was in the grave, it says so that the Son of God might be glorified thereby, that because of this tragedy, God was going to get glory. And that's what God's interested in. Sometimes God does not do things the way that we think he should. And sometimes we'll ask God, hey, God, why in the world did you let this happen? If you would have been here, you could have done this. If you had just stopped this virus, the whole world would be much better. But God is trying to get glory. God is trying to teach something. And Martha's getting ready to learn a lesson. The world is getting ready to see the power of Jesus. And here, Martha even says to him, if you'll ask God, he'll give it to thee. But who is Jesus? Jesus is God in the flesh. Sir, her faith is a little bit confused here. She begins questioning the methods, and she begins to question whether or not Jesus himself would have to ask the Father for something. He's God. He doesn't need that. He can do whatever he chooses to do. But you think about it, he continues on. Look what it says in verse number 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now remember this. Jesus says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you what you're asking for. He's going to rise again. She misses the point. She says, I know in the last day he will rise again. Jesus was offering help for today, and she was saying, hey, I know that someday it will happen. This is the challenge that many people have with their faith. They have no problem with believing that they're going to rise again someday. But they have a problem living for him today. They have faith to believe that someday they will rise again because of the resurrected power that is in Jesus Christ. But what Jesus is saying is, I want to help you today. Martha has no problem believing that he was the Son of God. Martha has no problem believing who he is. Martha has no problem or what his past is. She has no problem knowing that he's going to help in the future. But what God is trying to get a hold of her heart about, and what Jesus is trying to teach her right here is, hey, I can help you today. And many times when someone passes away, it is really easy to say and comfort them by saying, you know what, you're going to see your loved ones again. And that's a good thing to say. That's a good thing. Yes, he's going to help you, but he can help you today. Christian, our faith needs to be expanded. We see the resurrection. We see that empty tomb, and we're excited that someday that's going to be me that's rising up, and that someday I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. But he's saying that today that you can live by faith, and today you can expand your faith. Don't just look for it for the future. Believe it today, trusting in him with all your heart. It doesn't take much faith to say you will see your loved one again. But it takes great faith to say, I believe you can help me today. It takes great faith to change our lives and say, I believe you can make the difference today. When we consider the resurrection, that's what Martha is saying. Jesus, I know, I get it. He's dead. He's in the grave now. Someday he's going to rise again. That's good for him. But I'm talking about now, Jesus, and the response is, you're missing it, Martha. I can help you today. And many Christians, they see that empty tomb. They're excited about that someday, but they forget what he's trying to do today. They forget what he's trying to work through that day. And so Jesus challenges her faith. He challenges her not to look to the future, but look who is right in front of him. And that's when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And so he challenges her and he says, I am the resurrection. You're speaking of the resurrection of the dead here in the future. You're speaking of what's going to happen at the end times. But I'm the one that is the resurrection. I'm the one that offers life. I'm the one that's standing in front of you. So please, trust in me. Trust in what I can do even here today. Don't think about Lazarus someday rising. He can rise today. And don't think about the fact that God's power is going to be revealed in your life the day you rise in the future. Believe that his power can be revealed in your life today. And here is saying here, and he goes on, and think of, give a little description here. He that believeth in me, though he were yet dead, yet shall he live. As Jesus is speaking about how he imparts spiritual life to those who are dead in their trespasses and sin. Those who believe in him, even though they were dead in their trespasses and sin, yet shall he live, referring to the fact that it will be a spiritual life. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. That's referring to the fact that it is a spiritual life. There's no, it's not a spiritual death that will happen if they will believe in him. They shall never die. And the Lord Jesus guarantees life, and that's life without end. And that is faith, and that's the faith in Christ. And that's when he looks at her and says, believest thou this? Do you believe this? And that's the question for you today. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Was he the perfect, sinless Lamb of God that died on the cross, who paid our debt for us and was buried and rose again? Do you believe that he rose again to pay your sin debt? Have you placed your faith and trust in him? What faith is a prerequisite. It is a prerequisite that we must have to obtain the resurrection and life that Jesus Christ gives. Do you believe that today? And look how Martha responds. She responds with a great confession. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. When he's saying the Christ, he's talking about the Messiah there, Son of God, recognizing that he is God, that which should come into the world, that he is the Savior. So what a great confession. The Christ, Son of God, should come into the world. But what does she sidestep? She sidesteps kind of what Jesus could do for her today. Let's fast forward here. Most of you know this story. Jesus goes to the graveyard where the tomb's at. He says, let's remove the stone. Let's read about it in verse number 35. It says, Jesus wept. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Now look at the next person here who says something. It's Martha. Now, he is trying to expand Martha's faith. He already asked her, do you believe that I'm the resurrection and life? She has given a great confession. I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe that you are God, and I believe that you are the Savior. But Martha says to him, look what she says. The sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He hath been dead for 4 days. She says, why are you opening up the tomb? He's dead. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus earlier is saying, don't you believe in me? And she's saying, yeah, I believe you're God. I believe you're the Messiah. I believe that you're the Savior. But keep the tomb closed. He stinks. There's no reason for you to open the tomb. Jesus is trying to perform a miracle here. And she's there saying, why are you opening up the tomb? And she's missing the whole point of what God can do for her today. How many Christians today could say, yes, I believe someday he's going to raise me from the dead. And God is trying to glorify himself in their lives. And they're saying, hey, just keep the tomb empty. There's no reason for you to do that. Let's keep on going. And this is where the second question comes in. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I read that, and that reminds me, man, I need to trust in him with all my heart. So the first point, the reaction to the resurrection is we need to remind us that it was the love of God that did this, and we should react to that love. The second point is that we should trust him with all our heart. The third point is our reaction should be that we have faith to let God work in our lives. That we have faith to let God work in our lives. And that's what the Lord is trying to do here. The Lord is trying to raise Lazarus from the grave, and he's having to deal with Martha. He's having to deal with Mary. He's having to deal with all the people that are sitting there whispering, well, Didn't this guy, couldn't he have opened the eyes of the blind? And didn't he do this? Didn't he do that? Why didn't he heal Lazarus? And he's putting up with all this stuff. And he says, remove the stone. And then the one who just said, I believe that you're the Christ. I believe that you're the Savior. I believe that you're God. Why are you opening the tomb up? Where is the faith at? And that's where the expanding of our faith needs to happen. What do you believe? Believest thou this? Because if you believe that he's the Christ, if you believe that he is the Messiah, if you believe that he is God and the Savior of the world, then let's pull back the stones and let's see what he can do. Let's have the faith that he can get glory in this. And that's when he asks the question. And I love the great questions of the Bible. Many times there's a secondary question. Remember when he talked to Adam, what did he say? Where art thou? But later on it was to get to the heart of the question, did you eat of the tree? And then you come here and he says, believest thou this? And then he asks Martha this question, said not I unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Martha, weren't you listening earlier? Martha, I was trying to teach you something back there with the question, believest thou this? Now, all you have to do is be willing to believe, and you will see the glory of God. And I don't know if you say, well, Pastor, this isn't really a resurrection sermon. But I tell you, so many of us believe in the power of the empty tomb, but we don't see the glory of God in our life. We don't see God's glory working. And that's what he is trying to teach Martha. I think he's saying to her, if you would believe, if you would just believe, you can see the glory of God too. And if you would live a life, and I would live a life that shows that we believe this, then guess what? We can see God's glory happening in our lives. But so often we're looking forward to the future, believing that God someday will raise us from the dead. And that's what we celebrate about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he was the first fruits, and that someday it will happen to us. And then praise the Lord for those things. But he's saying, I want you to believe today. I want you to have the faith that God can work in your life today, that you can change who you are by his power, by his strength. Remember, the reaction to the tomb, the first one should be, man, because he loved me, I love him. Second one is, if he is the resurrection and the life, I need to trust in him. But I think there's another step. I need to have the faith to let him continue to work in my life. Not just trust him with my soul and my salvation, that someday he will raise me from the grave. But I need to have the faith that God wants to do it today. It's easy to say someday. It's easy to say he can work in your life and he can work in that person's life and he can make a difference there. But when it's, I want you to work today, that's when the faith takes over, changing how we live our lives. Many times when I consider this thought process, I think about that father who brought his son to the disciples and they couldn't cast the demons out. And I love the phrase that he says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Remember what it was said about Nazareth? It says that he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And in a day where we celebrate the power of God and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I think God would want us to expand our faith some and build our faith and say that not only does he want to work in our lives someday, he wants to work in our hearts today. Let's keep on reading how the story goes. Verse number 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said, save unto them, loose him and let him go. I mean, you think about it. He was able to raise Lazarus from the dead. There's an empty tomb there. The thing is, Lazarus went back to that tomb someday. You travel down a few chapters in the Bible, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see an empty tomb that Jesus never had to go back to because he's God. And he's seated on the right hand. There's your resurrection story that's there. But he is the resurrection life. He didn't have to look forward to when that was going to happen in a few weeks. Jesus is telling Martha, I am that power. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Because when you're resurrected, there is life that follows there. And he's saying, believest thou this? Let's keep on going, see what's that. And the amazing thing, Jesus raised him from the dead. But you know what? That does not amaze me more than the next couple verses. Look what the next couple verses say. That many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Get it. If I see somebody raise somebody from the dead that's been there for 4 days and he was stinking, I know he was dead, I'm going to believe on whoever did that. But what surprises me more than anything else is verse number 46. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. You know what? There were some people who walked away not believing. So the question is, what do you believe? We have the stories that are found in the Bible, the stories that are found in Scripture, the stories that God has worked and moved in our hearts and that we can believe. But there is still some that choose not to believe. You don't want to be that person. Let me give you an invitation today. Today is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, whatever you call it. I like Resurrection Sunday a little bit better, but you know, call it whatever you want to call it. But Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay your sin debt. He was buried. He rose again from the grave triumphantly. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. He is the one in complete control. And the reason why he did it is because he loved you. And he gives you an opportunity to receive him, to be received by him. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that is the reason why he died on that cross for us. He paid our price. He took our place. And if we will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall will be saved. And that's why he keeps on asking Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Now, we don't just believe that he existed. The world believes he existed. Be foolish to say that he never existed. Even the devils believe that he's Jesus and that he who he is. But it's a belief that I'm a sinner and my sin has separated me from God. And because of my separation, Jesus Christ came and paid that sin debt for me. And I can place my faith and trust completely in him. And he will take me to my home in heaven. I'm no longer trusting in anything else. I'm no longer trusting in myself or my good works. Remember, by grace we are saved. It's through faith. I am no longer trusting in those things. Instead, I am turning to God and believing and trusting in him and him alone, what Jesus Christ did on that cross for me. And it's simply put, to ask Christ to save you. Recognize that you're a sinner and in need of a Savior. But it is a life-changing decision. It's not just simply, oh, yeah, I believe this. No, it's a life-changing decision. It's one that will make a difference in your life. It's one when you truly put your faith and trust in him. The Bible says you become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you cannot work your way to heaven. Remember we learned earlier, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It says it's not the work of man. No one's going to be able to say, I got to heaven because of what I did. It's the gift of God. But don't forget, it's not a game. Don't forget, there are going to be some who chooses not to believe. But don't let that be you. Let God do a work in your heart. Let God do a work in your life. And when someone asks you, believest thou this? You'll say, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Martha believed those things. Martha is in heaven today. And the challenge there for Martha as a believer was, you need to increase your faith. And I think the challenge for us today, this Easter Sunday, that God's laid upon my heart is, hey, yes, you believe. Now increase your faith. Stop waiting for the day that he's going to raise us from the dead. Stop looking back at the resurrection as being the hallmark of the power of God only in your life. Instead, do something that the glory of God will be revealed in your heart and revealed in your life today. But also, look forward to that day. Nothing wrong with looking back. Nothing wrong with looking forward. But have the faith to see God work in your life. You say, Pastor, I haven't seen God work in a long time. That's not God's fault. He's still God. He's still the resurrection life. Believest thou this? Because Martha, if you believe this, you're not going to be surprised when I say roll away this tomb. You're not going to be surprised when I ask you to step out by faith. You're not going to be surprised when you pray longer and you fast, expecting God to answer your... You're not going to be surprised when God leads you down a path that you might not understand. You're going to believe because you want to see the glory of God in your life. Let me encourage you today, Christian, let God increase your faith. Believest thou this is probably an answer you got. Yes, I believe that he's Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that I'm going to heaven today because of his sin debt. I get that. You probably know that. But consider the other question. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. If you have faith, you'll see God working and moving in your life. Do you believe that? Respond by faith. Respond to the word. Respond to this story. What a great Easter Sunday this is. How do you react? You react with a love for him. We love him because he first loved us. He's the one that took our stripes. He's the one that took our iniquities. He's the one that took our transgressions. He was beaten for us. He was nailed to a cross for us. I mean, that should break our heart, and that love of Christ constraineth us. And we should react by trusting in him with all our heart. But we all should have the faith to let God work. It's one thing to say, I trust him with my whole heart today, right now. It's another thing to take that step and say, okay, God, what is it you want me to do tomorrow? How do you want me to live today? By faith, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. And I'm going to respond because I do trust in you. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the service today. And I pray that in this service, Lord, I know there's only a few here, but for those that hear this message and have heard the songs, you would stir their hearts. To first, a person who might not know you as Savior, they see the sacrifice that was made for them. And Lord, that they would turn to you. Faith and repentance. God, also, we see the believer that's in this story who needed her faith expanded. And God, how much we would want to stir the hearts of those that know you. Stir the hearts of the believers that are listening. It seems like many of us are not even scraping the top of the potential we have in God and with God. And what that resurrecting power looks like in our lives. And just as Martha needed to understand, believest thou this, she also needed to understand if she would believe, she would see the glory of God. And if we would truly have the faith to allow you to work in our hearts and allow you to work in our lives in day-by-day circumstances, we could see the glory of God in our lives too. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is where we would normally finish, but we're not done yet. We still got something else going on. We got a couple songs that we're going to be singing congregational-wise, and I think you might enjoy those, especially with the message. He lives, and because he lives. I don't know which order they are in, but I'm pretty sure Brother Jim knows. A couple quick announcements. Remember, if you want to be part of the prayer chain with the other seven churches, Monday, April 20th is Faith Baptist Church's Day. So whether you want it midnight to midnight to 12:20, or you want to do it the other night, you want to do it early morning, late afternoon, let me know how many slots that you want. And I know some of you think that, hey, Pastor, I'll take whatever you give me. That's nice. But at the same time, it's nice if you tell me how many. I'll take as many as you want. Well, then you can have all 72. No. At least tell me, hey, I want one, I want two, I want three. And I would encourage you not just to take private ones. Take ones with your family, husband and wife. Maybe each of you take one, and then take one with you and your husband, you and your wife, or take one as a whole family. And once again, Wednesday night, we're going to be having we'll go over the prayer request list. And it's the same list that the other churches will know. Now, obviously, we're not going to tell pastors what they should and shouldn't pray for or tell their people, but it's going to be a similar thing. So we're combining together or yoking together in a week of prayer and fasting, beseeching the throne of heaven with these specific topics. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And I'm excited to see what God is going to do with it. But you want to be a part of that. I think it'll be a blessing and a help and encouragement to you, but you got to get in. So make sure you start blowing my phone up and start using it as ways that, hey, I want a certain time and how many slots you want. Thank you for being such a wonderful church family. As we celebrate the resurrection, don't forget to respond with that empty tomb by loving him, by trusting in him, and having the faith to let him work in your life. Brother Jim, if you'll come lead us in those couple songs.
He lives. Rejoice with me. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Last verse. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. Another is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Now because he lives, God sent his son, they called him Jesus, he came to love, heal and forgive. And died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know because he lives.
Good singing. You're dismissed.